Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome in. It's Wednesday. It's brought to you by HornSolutions.net. He's our good friend. He's a Hall of Famer. He is the general. He is John McClain. John, good morning. How are we feeling today?
Yeah, I'm feeling great after watching that Astros comeback last night. What an exciting game to do what they did and do it to the magnitude that they did it. Now, of course, this game, whoever wins game five in a series goes on to win, to go to the World Series 70% of the time. So it is pivotal, and I can't wait.
The one decision, or the one, I guess, lineup decision that Seth and I were talking about yesterday, and we put it out to a poll to listeners, and I think today has even a little more juice to it because Jason Castro came in for Maldonado and had the biggest hit in the game. Is do you start Jason Castro now for this team? Dusty's not going to, but what would you do if you were Dusty Baker?
Well, Dusty knows Maldonado and his effect on the pitchers, but the pitchers have been so bad, what does it matter? Starting pitchers. And if Castro hit 225, that'd be 55 higher than Maldonado, who would have the lowest average of any regular in Major League Baseball and has been awful at the plate in the series. So I would go with Castro. You got to put all your best people out there no matter what the situation, and Jason Castro has been a better hitter.
John, yeah, I guess go ahead, Chuck.
No, go ahead. I didn't think you were asking a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, fire away. Okay. Yeah, I got nothing for you, Sean. For John, yeah. How are you feeling about Framber tonight, John, or this afternoon?
I don't feel good about any of the Astros starting pitchers. They've been awful, horrendous, the worst pitching staff I've seen in the playoffs from top to bottom. Everybody said McCullers, though they won the game he would have pitched, and then they won the game he would have pitched again last night. And but these other guys, they pitched in the playoffs last year. The one that amazes me is Christian Javier basically doesn't do squat in the season, and this is two playoff years in a row in which he's been terrific. And I wish somebody would ask him sometime, how do you explain that?
Yeah, we were debating. I remember, Seth, you and I remember debating before the ALDS, should Javier be on the roster? Should he make the play? He was horrible down the stretch this year.
He was
abysmal, and you're right. He's been one of the most valuable guys in this series. He was crucial to game one and game four of this series. John McClain in studio with us here, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. All right, John, let's talk Whitney Mercilus. We talked about him in headlines. Your thoughts on Whitney Mercilus, what this means for the Texans moving forward, and where do you think Whitney ends up?
Whitney, one of the all-time class guys, and talked yesterday after another charitable appearance, talked to the media, explained everything. His playing time had gone down. His pressures had gone down, and Jonathan Grenard has stepped up and one of the few guys really playing well right now. And so he said, if you're not going to play me, release me, and they did, and it was great for him. You ought to be doing cartwheels.
So he went in and said, so this was, when he said it was mutual, so Whitney went in, this was Whitney's
idea? That's what he said. He said he asked them, and now maybe they approached him, I don't know, but he said he asked them, went in and talked to him, and they agreed to do that, and that's tremendous for him, because I did my Nashville show, and they're talking about maybe Mike Vrabel, who needs linebackers, he would bring him in, and so I hope he gets a chance to go to a playoff team and has a chance to go to the Super Bowl for the first time in his career.
John, do you get the sense that perhaps the Texans had been dangling Whitney Mercilus out there or waiting for maybe somebody to call and maybe the Texans could pay half his salary while a new team traded for him? Or was this out of the blue?
I think anybody that you're going to cut, that you're trying to trade him first. You know, they see, you know, Roberts didn't work out at all. You know, he made some decisions catching the ball a yard deep instead of going down, taking it at the 25. He's tackled at the 20. And that's not that big of a deal unless you're as bad as they are and every yard counts. And so I think I'm sure they tried to see if they could get something for Whitney, and they couldn't, and that's good for him. And I'm really happy for him because I know this team's going nowhere. He wouldn't have been part of it next season. This gives him a great opportunity.
How do you think Whitney will be remembered as a Texan, John? Because it's tough to ignore just how awful that contract was at the end.
As a really good player who did a lot for the community mm-hmm. and a first-class act in every way.
Okay. John McClain joining us for his weekly visit here, brought to you by HornSolutions.net.
So, John, who's next? Who's the next? Who's getting traded next?
Well, I don't know. Does Lonnie Johnson? You know, he put a thing out last week on Twitter, get me out of here, and then deleted it. And there's talk about
he did. Zach Cutting. I didn't see that.
Yeah, G. Let's see.
Oh yeah, the like the acronym.
Yeah,
like
get me out. GMO. H, something like that.
Right.
And then.
Is that what that means?
Get me out of here. And so.
I thought it was some weird
he went after thing. You, John. Right. Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't ever see any of that okay. stuff, but Landry Locker told me. Yeah. He called me, and it basically was Colonel Sanders, and I took it as a compliment. And I, it's
sure
like
he
I pointed out.
Wasn't tweeting about genetically modified organisms?
Yeah,
there
I don't.
An H on
I have
there.
No
wasn't
idea what those guys okay. do, but because I don't ever pay attention to that. But I'll say this. When I wrote a glowing column about him, I don't remember him tweeting at me when I did that. I used to love when we would have interaction with the Oilers, and you could go in there and talk to them for as long as you wanted every day. And if a guy complained about something I'd written, I'd say, you might be right, but I'm trying to think. Remember when I wrote this and this and this
yeah.
that was positive? How come you never brought it up?
See, now you know.
And they're
how,
like,
yeah. See, now you know how customer service reps feel, John. Like, no, nobody ever calls a company to tell them how awesome a job they're doing. They only call it the name.
Yeah, I don't think I wrote his name, and it may have been in a tweet, and I don't remember what I tweeted, but I've had players, they tell me, who've come back at me, and that's fine. That's yeah. their prerogative. I'm up for anything.
Yeah.
Dom Capers got a little chippy once when – there was a player. This is when Dom was a defensive coordinator. There was a player that, after a bad play where the player didn't agree with the call, he looked up at the coach's box and like put his hands up in the
Ooh.
Air, basically like calling out Dom Capers. And so Dom in the meeting on Monday was like, "All right, hey, listen, next time you get a sack off of blitz I call, you better damn well be pointing up at the coach's box." So he did. I don't want to say who the player was because he's a little psychotic. But the next time he got a sack, he did point up at Dom Capers in the box.
Oh,
that's
wild.
Great.
That's wild. John McClain in studio with us. So, John, back to so Andre Roberts gets cut loose. You get six games out of him. He gets $2.5 million. Greatest gig ever. I guess, you know, it's one thing, you know, Nick Caserio comes in and he inherits just one of the worst situations that any general manager could inherit with the draft capital situation, the salary cap situation, bad contracts, a quarterback who doesn't want to be here, and then a quarterback who's getting sued by 22 different women. Like, it's a horrible situation that Nick Caserio had nothing to do with. However, there are some moves now that Nick has started to make that are solely his moves. Andre Roberts didn't work out. Shaq Lawson did not work out. Marcus Cannon, I think you could argue, with the money he's making, you only got five games out of him, and now he's done for the season with a back injury. All these seventh and sixth round picks he's been throwing around. I guess, where are we at with Nick Caserio in the moves that he has ownership of right now?
Well, we'll know in about 3 years. You know, it's not fair to judge a guy right now on the personnel moves he's made, and he's made every one of them. You know, it's his decision. It's nobody else's decision. And he consults with people. He consults with David Culley, and he talks to the coaches and the coordinators and his personnel people about these moves. And money's not an issue, hasn't been an issue here. And I would think that we'll see a whole lot more moves before they get to free agency.
Yeah, I guess as far as this matchup this week,
take the Cardinals.
Should I? Well, okay, you say take the Cardinals. If I were gambling on this, this is a huge spread. And the reason that spreads don't get as big in the NFL as they do in college is that even bad teams have the ability to score in garbage time. Like, teams don't just get completely squashed like they do in college. So is there any reason, what would the reason be that maybe the Texans pull out one and have a much closer, hard-fought game, say the way they did in the Patriots game?
Well, considering that, well, that game was here. They're on the road, 71-3, the last two. No garbage time scores. Davis Mills, the quarterback, and the Cardinals are really good. They're averaging 32 points a game. Take out their 17-point victory. I mean, their 17 they scored in their victory over San Francisco, and they're averaging 36 points a game. And so I don't see any reason they're not going to light up the Texans. They got Murray playing great. They got balance with the running game. The defense is playing well. And the Texans really can't do anything very well right now. And I would think the only reason the Texans could come within that spread was if, like, you know, the Cardinals got ptomaine poisoning at their hotel the night before, and a lot of players couldn't play.
Well, along those lines, Cliff Kingsbury had to miss that game against Cleveland because he was he tested positive for COVID. Did you see the story that Albert Breer had, John, about Cliff Kingsbury, how he wasn't even watching the Cardinals? He was following the Cardinals-Browns game on his phone. He was getting ready, prepping for the Texans, and he only tuned in for the last few minutes just to watch the celebration. Are you buying that story?
I don't know. What a waste of time if he's missing a great game to prepare for the Texans. My
that
goodness.
That felt way too much like a guy that's thinking, okay, there's a chance that this team might overlook the Texans, and I got to be sure I send the message like, no, we're taking this team deadly seriously. And I look, Sean and I feel like there's no way the Cardinals are going to overlook the Texans because one of their key players on defense and one of their key players on offense are going to be really, really super motivated
for
this game. Yeah, so I don't think there's a chance in hell the Cardinals overlook the Texans.
It's too bad that Bill O'Brien's not still the coach because that was the guy Hop had the problem with. And after O'Brien and Watt got into it last year, Watt put out that tweet with sun shining inside the stadium when he was fired. So it's too bad Bill's gone.
John McClain in studio with us. He's presented by HornSolutions.net. Okay, I want to stick with this Cardinals-Texans matchup. I want to see what John thinks about my prop bets, my totals that I put. DeAndre Hopkins receiving yards, J.J. Watt combined sacks and TFLs. Does the general think that I am putting a good number out there for my fictitious sports book? That is next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, John McClain in studio with us, presented by HornSolutions.net. All right, John, tell me what you think of these numbers that I put out in my fictitious sports book. Gambling is not legal in the state of Texas. So hypothetically, if I were to own a sports book, these are the numbers I would put out. And you tell me if you go over or under. Keep in mind, DeAndre Hopkins has yet to have a 100-yard game this year. Over under number of receiving yards for DeAndre Hopkins on Sunday against the Texans, 95.5.
I take the under, and the reason is he's tied for the team lead in catches with two other players. He's getting a lower percentage of the passes. Now, he's on a pace for 17 touchdowns, which would shatter his career high of 13 here.
So you go under on that. Okay.
I go under.
I feel like a lot of the money was coming in on the over. I need some under money on that, John, so thank you for that. My other prop bet that I have is J.J. Watt. Now, he's only got one sack on the year, so this is what combined sacks and TFLs in the game, 3.5.
Sacks and tackles for loss.
Combined.
And he'll be going against Charlie Heck. I'd say the over.
Over. Okay. So at least 4 combined tackles or tackles for loss and sacks. All right.
I don't think Hop feels animosity toward this organization because of his problems with O'Brien, and he's gone. And the thing about him this year is Christian Kirk is tied with him for the team lead. A.J. Green has been reborn in the desert. And then Chase Edmonds, their leading rusher, he has 26 catches, too. I wrote a column today about how the Cardinals should be the Texans' model how to rebuild, going back to Bruce Arians last season before he retired, and how Steve Keim, the GM, has done a great job with trades, waiver claims, and signing free agents, James Conner being an example, A.J. Green, guys came from other teams who are really producing at this point. They have a lot more, but I think Hop, where he's going to be the most dangerous, is when they get down close to the goal line inside the red zone. He bowled his way into one of those touchdowns Sunday, and then he had a great catch on the other one.
Well, following the plan should be very easy to do because part of that plan is to find a marquee receiver and trade a second-round pick and David Johnson for that receiver, and we've got David Johnson on the team. So a second-round pick and David Johnson to Seattle for DK Metcalf. That's part of the plan. That's all you got to do, and you're the Cardinals 2.0.
And you might give him Ross Blacklock, too.
Yeah, while you're at it, yeah.
You know, as far as DeAndre Hopkins and the animosity he has for the team, I guess where I am with that, John, is that it's not a rational thing. At one point, it's not like guys have a list of people to kill on their walls, and once they're all checked off, they're good to go. I feel like with Hopkins, and just based on his social media over the course of the last year or so, I feel like he's got a certain level of animosity for just the franchise in general, and you're going to get a hyper motivated one, and you're right, it might not end up in a lot of yardage, but I could see him having an extreme nose for the end zone in this one,
absolutely.
And having like that Cowboys whirlwind play that he had from a few years back, and then that play down in the red zone that he had this last weekend. You're right, it was incredible.
Hopkins and Watt should be thanking the Texans every day for the trade and the release. So they're with the only unbeaten team in the league. They should be ecstatic that the Texans were willing to do that.
JJ looks like a genius right now.
He sure does.
We were all very skeptical. Like, why are you going? That team was last place in their division last year. He looks like a genius.
I can't wait to ask him about that tomorrow on the conference call.
Yeah, there's a conference call tomorrow with JJ and the local media here, right?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. Are JJ and DeAndre part of the normal media rounds each week for the Cardinals? I would imagine this week they are, right?
I would guess, but I don't keep up with it. Because you can't go in dressing rooms and interview a bunch of people, and then you keep getting the same guys over and over, and some of them are good, some of them are not. Like, Justin Reed's the best interview here by far.
Mm-hmm.
And JJ, we all know how good he is. Hop, I'm not sure. I haven't seen any quotes from him anywhere, but that doesn't mean he's not doing it.
John, the offensive line went from being kind of an okay situation at the beginning of the season to now it's just an absolute wreck. The Texans signed this Morrissey guy off of the Raiders yesterday. A football player, not the singer. If I were the singer Morrissey, I'd want to get away from the Raiders too. What do we know about this Morrissey character?
I don't know anything about him at all, and the fact that they brought him in here tells you they're worried about Justin Britt's knee. I thought Justin McCray did a terrific job. He's a guard who has played some center. I thought he might have a couple of bad snaps with Davis Mills, but he didn't.
Yeah. John, Charles Omenihu tweeted during the game on Sunday, tweeted congratulations to a college teammate on an interception at halftime of a game that he was inactive for, but with the team in Indianapolis. What the hell's going on with Charles Omenihu right now?
It's pretty obvious. You can make him inactive once and talk about practice, but if you make a guy inactive twice, he's not long for your world. And I know Nick Caserio went on the Texans website and said that that waiving Whitney Mercilus would give guys more chance to play, and he mentioned Omenihu. If they're not going to play Charles, they need to trade him. Now, he was their best defensive lineman, best pass rusher in preseason. I thought he would have the best season playing for Lovie Smith in his 4-3, but there's something they don't like. Maybe it's just the previous regime. I don't know. But if you're not going to use the guy, trade him, get whatever you can, and try to stockpile picks for next year.
I think, I'm not just trying to be younger than I am here. When it comes to players who are inactive, using social media during the game. I don't mind a comment, especially at halftime, about another football game. What was the one a few years ago where there was an inactive player? He liked some woman's picture on Instagram.
It was Clowney. Clowney was inactive for a game, and he was up in the booth. He was injured, and he liked some thick woman on Instagram.
The best social media I've seen was Texans are at Green Bay, and Kiki QT gets hurt. He goes to the locker room, and he starts looking through his, what is it called when people send you things?
DMs?
Not messages? Direct messages. What people are tweeting about you.
Oh, replies.
Yeah, your mentions. Yeah. Mentions. And he was going through them, and people are ripping him for being injury prone. So he responded exactly what the doctors told him his injury was. It was a sprained ankle and how long he was going to be out. And we're up in the press box. Ooh, wait till O'Brien sees this.
That's not going to go well.
My favorite Clowney moment was when O'Brien was asked a question about Clowney's injury in a press conference, and O'Brien said, "Well, who told you that?" And John, it might have been you that said it was Clowney that told us that. You can see the look on Bill O'Brien's face, just exasperation. Oh, like, oh, great!
We told him,
Dr. Clowney.
Yeah, he said Dr. Clowney and I are going to have a consultation.
Hey, that's pretty funny.
I'm a lover, man.
I'm not gonna lie. That is pretty funny. Seth, you don't mind it, but my guess is that coaches and general managers around the league probably mind it. You know what I mean?
I think what coaches and general managers worry more about is all the emotional stuff. With the many of you and Lonnie Johnson at various times, their cryptic tweets talking about how things are messed up or get me out of here or whatever it might be. If I'm thinking about trading for a guy like Lonnie Johnson especially, because at least the menu has shown that he belongs in the league as a player.
Yeah.
I don't know if Lonnie Johnson belongs in the league as an NFL football player, and he's out here acting like he's been the most mistreated
Lott.
Player. Yeah. So if I'm thinking about trading for some guy who I don't even know if he's a good football player or not, the last thing I want is a guy that's going to create drama off the field or on social media or anything. It's really... He's doing a huge disservice to himself by doing that stuff.
There's a great story by Kevin Clark in The Undefeated about how coaching has changed, and no more can you have the big bullying coach where players are intimidated. And he used Kingsbury as an example. He gives players social media breaks during the day so they can get on their phones and give them, you know, because they're so addicted. And coaches today have to be more understanding of players, young players, and how much time they spend on their phone and social media. You have to adapt, and a lot of them are.
See, maybe that's why JJ chose to go to Arizona. Social media time. It could be. I would say if it was JJ in 2015, I would have absolutely had that take. He's chilled out on social media since the peak of his marketing powers. John McClain in studio with us, brought to you by hornsolutions.net.
You know, the one I read that article, John, and the one thing that always annoys me is that I'll see these articles where they say, well, people's attention spans are shorter now because of social media. Like, there are studies going back to the 1960s that show that you should really take breaks every half hour in any kind of a meeting. But, like, football coaches just droned on through all those and had these three-hour meetings full of a bunch of us with ADHD and whatnot, where it was just stupid. So if anything, like, the best thing social media has done has made people finally realize, no, yeah, you really shouldn't be meeting for more than a half hour at a time.
That's true.
Football coaches, NFL football coaches, were some of the most obstinate, thick-headed, just stubborn SOBs when it came to not recognizing various things about human nature. So God bless social media for that.
John, what do you make of Zach Cunningham and his 14 snaps on Sunday? Is it 2 weeks from now, is Zach Cunningham a Houston Texan?
He should be traded. They should trade him to a 3-4 team and see what they can get for Zach. They have plenty of linebackers. They're playing two most of the time. Originally, it was Christian Kirksey and him, but Camu Grugier-Hill has played really well, made a lot of plays, so he's on the field with Christian Kirksey.
Let me ask you that. I mean, I get everything you're saying there. I understand it. Honestly, should any decisions be made on trading guys that have anything to do with, well, at least they've got two or three of these guys on the depth chart? You know what I mean? Like, this, honestly, if we're being honest about this, does do the outcomes of these games in 2021 matter to the extent that it should affect whether or not you trade a guy on this roster?
Well, it shouldn't. To me, I think they should go for the rebuild. They should lose. They should play Davis Mills, but they're going to go back to Tyrod Taylor, and that means they're trying to win.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about that between now and the top of the hour as well. John McClain is in studio with us, hornsolutions.net. All right, a dark horse MVP candidate emerging. I want to see if John is buying into this particular candidate and the comparison I have for this particular candidate. We'll hit that. We'll circle back to some Astros talk, too, with the general John McClain. That is next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, MVP in the NFL. Every week the odds come out, and right now the favorite is Kyler Murray. Which I think is justifiable. Quarterback, young quarterback for the only undefeated team. John sitting at 8-1, and once again leading the league in carries, yards, and touchdowns is Derrick Henry, who had every bit of what makes him a great player on display on Sunday or on Monday night against the Buffalo Bills in that win. What are your thoughts on Derrick Henry as the as an early season MVP candidate?
He didn't win it last year, even though he rushed for more than 2,000 yards. They were 11-5, and they won the division. And what if, now with the extra game, it'll help, but what if he shatters the all-time rushing record and is the first player with two 2,000-yard seasons, and he does it in back-to-back seasons, and they win 11 games again? But the voters always go with the quarterbacks. And I remember when Watt finished second to Aaron Rodgers, and you couldn't argue with that. Rodgers had a great season. And the voting is only for regular season, not the playoffs. But if a back were ever going to get it again, then it seems like it'd be Derrick Henry. But I'm wondering, can he continue at this pace for 17 games? He's 6'3", he's 248. But Vrabel has no compunctions about using him as much as he does. But could he wear him down? Because then, what if they, they're hoping to win a Super Bowl? Then you'd have 17 regular season games. He didn't play in preseason, but then you could have three playoff games.
There are actually more running backs than I had remembered in this century for MVP. Because as you said, it's almost always a quarterback. But in this century, starting in 2000, Marshall Faulk, Sean Alexander, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson back in 2012. That was the last time a non-quarterback won it. I think, John, the thing about those guys, other than Marshall Faulk, I think with all those other guys, you very much had the feeling that, okay, in this age of the quarterback, this team is driven by the running back. And I think that that's how people feel about the Titans. I feel like I think there are a lot of people that give Ryan Tannehill his credit, but also say, you know, and it's because they do play action that it works. It's because of the threat of Derrick Henry. So I think there's a good chance he gets it. Are you – okay, John, who's the Houston voter for MVP?
I don't know. I used to be. I'm not anymore.
So it's a big – do we not know – are these not these votes aren't made public then, I guess?
No, they don't make them. It's a panel. That panel includes – I did it for like 35 years. And you have ex-NFL players who are broadcasters. You have people like Troy Aikman, Boomer Esiason, Bill Polian. There's a lot of people. They always blame it on the writers, but there's a lot of former players and executives on that committee. And but for whatever reason, it's just been the quarterback, and usually there's a quarterback who plays great and his team's great. It's almost like now they take Derrick Henry for granted.
John, I feel like you're uniquely qualified to assess this comparison because you covered Earl Campbell. How would you compare Derrick Henry and Earl Campbell, especially since they both play for the same franchise?
I look at Derrick Henry comparing him to the big backs like Eric Dickerson was 6'3", Chuck Muncy 6'3", Jim Brown 6'2". You know, Earl was short and compact, but two things they had in common is if they ran a 40, it wouldn't be impressive, but nobody catches them from behind. The Texans know that very well because they can't catch him from behind. Henry's got a stiff arm like nobody in history because he has such long arms and he is so tall. And Earl and Henry break a lot of tackles. Henry has 11 touchdown runs of 50 or more yards. Mm-hmm. And the way he's going, he will shatter the record, which I think is 18. And that's the amazing thing to me. But neither one of them ever runs out of gas.
The quarterback that the Texans will face this week, obviously, is Kyler Murray. Where is Kyler Murray compared to maybe where you thought he'd be this time last year?
Well, first of all, as I wrote today, when they hired Steve Wilks there and fired him after 1 year, people raised all kind of cane, said they didn't give him a chance. And then when they hired Kingsbury, it was humongous controversy. Then when they drafted Murray, he's too short, he's a runner, he's going to play baseball. That had controversy, and now everything is smooth. And Murray is even better this year. You can imagine if he keeps it up what his contract's going to look like. Compared to Josh Allen's and what Lamar Jackson's is going to look like. And those guys were probably smart to wait, although maybe it was the team's idea to wait. But Murray's been great. You know, he's not running as much. He's still effective, but he's becoming more of a passer. And people think because he's short and fast, he doesn't have a good arm. He's got a really good arm. I remember when he went to the Elite 11, George Whitfield, the quarterback guru who was there, said that one night, all the guys who were there working with Trent Dilfer, who runs it, were saying, talking about all these great prospects. And one of them says, did you guys watch Kyler Murray today? Because, you know, the other guys were all 6'2", 6'4". Does anybody here have a better arm than him? And they all agreed, no. And so he's done a great job, and Cliff Kingsbury's done a terrific job of coaching him. And I'm excited about this. I wish the game were here, and because I'd love to see the fan reaction when Hopkins and Watt came out for the first time. But I always like going there. It's going to be exciting, but I think it's going to be really ugly on the score.
There's at least one person that doesn't realize the game is in Arizona, not Houston, because we have a texter who texted in, do you think there will be tribute videos for DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt? I'm like, in Arizona, there is every week. It's called their highlight reel that they play up on the the Jumbotron. Texter, the game is not here. It's in Arizona.
But there will be. I'm guessing there will be a David Johnson tribute of some sort.
That's interesting. Will there be a David Johnson?
You know what? I hadn't thought about that, but he meant a lot to the franchise. Like Whitney, he was great in the community.
Got him Hopkins.
Does things here. And, that would be even more to do it. That 1 year he had 21 touchdowns in 2015. So I'm sure they will now that you bring it up.
If they add that to the end of the video,
yeah,
just to try to give the full breadth of the picture.
They add O'Brien describing what an excellent three-down back he is to the end of the highlight video.
In his final selfless act for the Cardinals.
Right. He sacrificed himself so that the team could get DeAndre Hopkins. John McClain's in studio with us, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. We've had a few people ask this on the text page, John, especially in light of the fact that the Texans' opponent this week, the Cardinals, played the Browns last week. How are you feeling about your Browns Super Bowl prediction right
not
now?
Not very good. Nick Chubb's out, now Kareem Hunt's out, and Baker Mayfield has not gotten totally over the shoulder injury against the Texans, trying to make a tackle on an interception. They say it pops out, so that's affecting him. So, no, I don't feel good about it. They're 3-3, tied for last, but there's a reason, and the reason is when you – build your offense around your running game and your two top backs are out, you better have a Lamar Jackson at quarterback.
Yeah. Well, Baker's in year four. What do you think? Do you think Baker gets an extension, or does he play out the fifth-year option? Like, what's going on with Baker in the – and I guess a lot of it depends on what happens these next 11 games, right?
The thing about Baker Mayfield, playing in Cleveland, you're never going to have a quarterback that's going to put up big passing numbers, and they know that. That's why they're built around the run. And he's not going to get the record-breaking contract. He's not going to be number one when he signs his deal, whenever that is. That would be Murray or Lamar Jackson. But I'm guessing he'd be pretty realistic about it. And right now he's severely hampered. Even though it's his left shoulder, it affects his throwing, and it pops out and has to be popped back in. And someone who has a torn rotator cuff in my right shoulder and had my left shoulder replaced, I feel great sympathy for him.
You know, John, I cringed when I saw that play because I used to have recurring dislocations in my non-dominant arm too, in my left arm. And one thing that he's got to learn to do, even after he gets this repaired in the offseason, he's got to learn how to fall. Like John, if you can imagine, if you're with, however your shoulder feels with a torn labrum, when you stick it out in front of you like that and extend your arm out, like you're in a really weakened position. And he can't do that. He's not allowed to do that anymore for the rest of his career. And you look at guys like Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady spends time working on how to fall, how to avoid contact in various situations and everything. And he's still got a little bit of that youthful recklessness in him that he's got to learn that he can't get away with as he gets older.
When Kenny Stabler came to the Oilers, and back then you could do anything to a quarterback. You could pick him up, throw him down. You could hit him in the knees, whatever, in the head. And he talked about how he had learned to, when he's about to be hit, you have to go limp, and he described it like a dish rag. And don't tighten up and tense up. You have to go totally limp, and you have to learn to do that because it's not a natural reaction.
That was one of the things that was so weird about RG3 was that RG3 was so ridiculously athletic, and yet when he got tackled, it looked like he was going to get injured every single time. Like, he couldn't go down gracefully. There's some guys that just never quite figure it out.
At Baylor, everybody held their breath every time he took off because he tried to run over him, around him, through him. He just didn't want to slide because he'd been such a great runner, and he paid a price.
John McClain, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, let's circle back to the Astros for a minute. So, how concerned are you about the taxation on the bullpen right now with this team?
Very, because the bullpen had been very inconsistent, much maligned. They were tremendous last night. Yeah, Christian Javier, he was. It's amazing to me how much better he's been in the playoffs the last 2 years than regular season. And he was tremendous again, and he's played a big role in their two victories. But, man, they looked so good last night. Graveman, you're thinking, okay, that's why they made that trade for him. And they got a lot of guys whose contracts are expiring. So it would be great if Fromberg could give them two. But what if he could give them five or six like he did during the regular season?
Did you just say it would be great if Fromberg could give them two?
Yeah, nobody gets out of the second inning, right?
Fromberg did. Fromberg made it to the third.
And so if he could make five or six, or gosh, what if it was even seven? I look for him to bounce back. Can't see him having two bad games in a row because he's been – too effective, and that would help so much.
Is this the most clutch team that you've rooted for in your time covering sports here in Houston? Like the team where you just like big situations like this, or being able to put a game behind them and focus on the next night? Like where do you stack this team up with all the teams you've watched in
Houston?
Well,
I can't. well, that goes back to the first one in 62, but they didn't get in the playoffs forever. And I think you're right. To be able to bounce back the way they did after getting humiliated two in a row when everybody in the country thought they were going to lose last night, and not just to win, to come from behind and then to bash in the Red Sox brains, that made it even better. So I would say, yes, the most resilient Astros team I've seen.
Yeah, John, I think I got this stat from Brian McTaggart. I apologize if it was somebody else. But with two outs, the Astros in this postseason have 36 runs with two outs on the board. That's, that's a record through eight games in a single postseason.
They kept talking about that last night, what they were doing with two outs. It's just amazing. And they continually do it. It's not like it's every once in a while. You wish they would do it a little earlier, but better late than never.
No, their focus is incredible. And the Red Sox are kind of this way, too. I mean, both these teams, like in this series, the Red Sox work counts. And I mean, so many three, even in a game the Astros won last night, so many 3-2 counts that the Red Sox get them to. It's really, it's tense times watching both of these teams play. Who are you rooting for in the National League, John?
Well, first, when I thought the Dodgers, when they were down by three before Bellinger tied it with his home run.
I hated that.
I thought, I want the Dodgers to play if I think the Astros are going to play. I want them to play in a World Series. But I got to admit, I thought the Astros would lose and go down. So then I thought, okay, I want the Dodgers to lose too. And then they bounce back. Now I'm fired up about the Astros. I want to see the Astros and the Dodgers in the World Series. And I admire what the Braves have done losing Acuna. Yeah. Everybody thinking their season was over, and they bounced back in such a big way.
And we'll see if they bounce back today. That's a tough way to lose a game, man. Three-run homer. Ooh. I think I saw a stat on TV. That's the first time that the Dodgers in the postseason in their history have come back from being down three runs or more in the eighth inning or later. They were 0-81 in the postseason as a franchise. You saw the same thing, John?
Oh, yeah. They're making a big deal out of that. And it was a tremendous comeback. Bellinger's the one I disliked the most because of all the things he said about the Astros. Anybody but him. You know, I'd love to see Max Muncy. He's out because he went to Baylor. I'd like, if somebody's going to tie it, I'd rather it be him. But it was a great comeback by the Dodgers. And remember, they trailed 3-1 in this series last year.
They did.
You think the Braves are not thinking about that?
Of course they are. Yeah, no, it's in their heads, no doubt about that.
John, one last little football thing before we let you go. Last year, Brandon Cooks, as the Texans approached the trade deadline, or actually after they went past the trade deadline, was asked about him, whether or not there was any discussion about him being traded. He basically said that he'd have a say in that if the Texans were going to try to trade him. Do you think Brandon Cooks would welcome a trade right now, or is he sticking around for the long haul?
Wouldn't anybody welcome a trade right now? We're talking about a team that's one of the worst in the league. I can't wait for that big Jets game. And then they get Miami pretty soon. But I would think anybody, especially an older player who's productive, would love to be traded and have a chance to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, you would think.
What do they get for Cooks right now, you think?
I don't think they're going to trade him, but I think he would be dying to go to another team.
So hold on. So you think Brandon Cooks is untouchable?
Not untouchable. Okay. Somebody made him a great offer. Okay. But if you're bringing Tyrod Taylor back, which they are, why would you start getting rid of other players?
Yeah, well.
And I don't think it makes sense to bring Taylor back.
Right.
I would stick with Davis Mills.
Yeah, no, you're saying that's what you think the team is going to do. That's not what you would do.
No, I wouldn't do it. I think they're going to go to him, and I think it'll be the Rams game coming up, so I don't see him unloading his favorite target.
All right, so if there was a pool and you had to pick a player who is the next Texan to go, either via trade?
Zach Cunningham.
Okay, right, there you go. Yeah. All right, John gave us one. Okay,
I think I think Cunningham or Menihue are the big ones. And you know what, John? This is where I am. I think it makes a lot of sense long term to trade Cooks right now, except that if you're trying to figure out what you have in Davis Mills, I think he's got to have some weapons to do it. So that's the for me. I'm okay with keeping some of the veteran offensive players because you can't just let the rookie out there with a complete skeleton crew and expect to learn anything about him.
But if they offer you a two for him, Seth, a two.
Yeah, nobody's going to offer a two for Cooks.
Okay, all right. Well,
too many receivers.
Yeah. All right.
That's right. Offer me a two or offer me an Xavier Suafilo. Always put a name to it, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
A two or an Xavier Suafilo.
Why do you do this? I have so much fun speculating about these draft picks, and you got to attach a name to them and then make it not fun. All right. John, what's going on in the Chronicle this weekend?
Well, I have my story that the Cardinals are the model organization. Brooks Cabina has his film work that he does every week and does a fabulous job, and we have a lot of Astros coverage. Nice. Guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it, as always.
John, we always enjoy the conversation. John McClain, presented by HornSolutions.net. All right, back to the Astros. The anatomy of the most important inning of the postseason so far for the Astros. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.